KMVP FM, Phoenix, ArizonaSports.com, the Arizona Sports app, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock. On this Wednesday afternoon, good afternoon, and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Proud of you.
I have no other choice. I'll be here all week.
You got to forget about the losses. You know, you got to shake off the ones when you have an epic fail. Need to come back. It's like a good closer, right? I mean, you give up a big three-run home, it'll cost your team the game.
Exactly.
It's nice to get back out there the next day, and I'm glad that it wasn't a Friday that you messed up. We had all weekend to think about
the
big mistake.
I wanted to get back out there. I wanted my manager to hand me the ball in the ninth.
Let's go.
Show confidence in me. And I didn't want to be like Cody Parkey going on the Today Show, telling my sob story about how I'm on this for Tuesday afternoon.
So obviously, you weren't on your game yesterday.
Clearly. You're going to get so much better of a show today. It's not even funny how much better I'm going to be today because I know what day it is.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you were able to rebound.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Grant tweeted me right before the show started about 2 minutes ago. Don't mess this up. That's all he said. Just don't mess this up.
Let the pressure's on right away.
He reminded me how badly I messed it up yesterday, so I appreciate that.
All right, well, we're back.
Definitely a Wednesday afternoon. And
we got a streak going now.
Exactly. One day. Knowing what day it is. Yeah. We'll see.
I've gone like a month now without cursing on the air.
You have. Congratulations.
It's been about a month, right?
I think a little bit longer than that, unless I missed something.
Cursed on the air. Yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah, no, I think you're going to make it a whole year.
Show right Gambo was gone for 3 weeks out of that month, but yeah.
God only knows how many inappropriate things he said in Finland, but when he was, when he was actually on the air.
Every time I went to the dinner place and it was like, you got anything, reindeer or moose? Anything different? No, reindeer or moose. A lot of curse words came out that day.
Well, congratulations on your curseless streak.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for the round of applause that I'm now getting on social media for correctly identifying what day it is. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is right here on the Burns and Gambo Show, shall we?
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Our top story of the day today is that it is not going to be John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals.
They wanted him.
Yep.
They liked him.
Jacksonville just officially announced it about a half hour ago, so he's going there. The speculation has already begun, and I'm going to cite a colleague of ours, Mike Jarecki, on Twitter. It was already suggested that Nick Foles is on line one, perhaps to Jacksonville, to be reunited
with DeFilippo. Great thought by Mike Jarecki then.
No doubt about it, but it does leave the Arizona Cardinals still searching for a position that, while we talked about this a lot yesterday, is clearly not as important to them as it might be to other teams, is still an important spot.
It is. I mean, we downplayed it a lot yesterday, but I mean, it's still a spot that they've got to get filled and one that they want to hire a qualified guy. And so, I mean, they're going through all the work and the process right now. And I've got some new names, which we'll get into in a second. But let's just start with DeFilippo, because John DeFilippo was a guy that they really wanted. He's a guy that they had focused a lot of their attention on. They brought him in for an interview. We had that story over the weekend, and they thought that he'd be a good pairing with Cliff Kingsbury and to be able to work with the young quarterbacks. But Doug Marrone hires John DeFilippo. He's the offensive coordinator. He's going to call the plays over there. He was replacing Nathaniel Hackett, who they fired when they made all these sweeping changes. And he has a really good track record with Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, he's got a history with him, right?
Through the Giants system. So DeFilippo is only 40 years old. He's got a lengthy track record of working with quarterbacks, and he was going to be a good hire for somebody. Yes, the Cardinals wanted to hire him. Yes, they did. But he ends up taking the job with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Doug Marrone, the head coach of the Jags, talked about his relationship with DeFilippo.
We hired John DeFilippo as the offensive coordinator. Probably have a more of a relationship with John's dad. You know what I'm saying? My father-in-law and his father-in-law are friends. I saw him up in Minnesota and really been tracking him. He obviously, there's someone on my staff that knows him well. There's a guy that I've worked with that has worked with him You know, Todd Downing worked with him in Minnesota. Todd and I were together in Buffalo.
Now, you had reported early this week, late last week, I can't remember exactly when, about, no, it was over the weekend. I'm sorry, that's right, it was over the weekend, that Steve Sarkisian did not, in fact, turn down the Cardinals' job, that the Cardinals did not want Steve Sarkisian to be their offensive coordinator. And you know, I trust your reporting wholeheartedly, 100%. Today's news with DeFilippo going to Jacksonville is the first sign to me that this job within the industry as offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, the way they're currently constructed, is not that attractive of a position.
Because you're not calling the plays. So if you can go to Jacksonville, they're going to have the 7th overall pick in the draft. They could use it on a quarterback that you'll get to groom. You've got an offense that, you know what, you got a lot, needs a lot of fixing. They were 31st in the NFL in scoring, 27th in yards, and they were just pitiful. So it's a, you know, they could get Dwayne Haskins, they could get Kyler Murray, they could get Will Greer. They may end up getting a quarterback that he could really work with, but he'll get to call the plays. He knows Coughlin. It just, you know, it sounds crazy, but it seemed to be a little bit more attractive of a job. And obviously here, you're not going to call the plays with Cliff Kingsbury here. So that was one of the negatives about, it is one of the negatives about this job, is that you're not going to get to call the plays.
We talked yesterday about sometimes, we were laughing because you've never really had an interview for a job before, but sometimes when you do interview for a job, you walk out of the interview and you might need a job, but you don't want that job. You just don't want, you walk out of the interview and go, yeah, no, I'll pass. And I,
if they offer this to me, I'm not going to take it.
I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like on the surface that given you're telling me this was the guy they wanted and he didn't take it, it tells me that he either didn't like this gig or liked the Jacksonville gig so much better that he said, no, I'm good. I don't want that job. And it's probably the play calling thing. It's probably, if DeFilippo still wants to be a head coach in this league, what's the faster path to getting there?
Calling plays.
Calling plays. Calling plays. Turning Jacksonville around offensively, a team that's always seen as having a great defense but never a good enough offense. Well, if he can get that offense back on track, he's right back at the top of the list for head coaching jobs. It wouldn't be the same here with Arizona. It's just not as attractive as a job. And so because of that, some of the candidates that they attract might not be as good as you would like. I would have loved DeFilippo on the staff.
Yeah.
I thought he would have been a terrific addition.
Definitely a guy that I was kind of hopeful that they could get, because it did make a lot of sense. Now, I will tell you what I do believe is that there is going to be some interest from the Cardinals and maybe some coaches that are still coaching right now. You got 4 teams left. And as they're going through the motion, remember, they brought in Sarkisian, didn't hire him. Brought in McAdoo, didn't hire him. Brought in DeFilippo, didn't hire him. I mean, everybody they brought in, they haven't hired anybody yet. So I do think that there is a possibility. My belief is that they will take a look. If they don't hire anybody in the next, you know, couple of days here, they could take a look at some of the guys that are coaching that are still playing. Now, it wouldn't be offensive coordinators, but it would be quarterback coaches. There's 2 right now that I'm keeping my eye on, one more than another, but you've got 2 of them. You've got Mike Kafka in Kansas City, and you've got Joe Lombardi in New Orleans. Both of those guys are quarterback coaches. Lombardi is a guy who has called plays before as an offensive coordinator. Kafka is a guy who played in the league, who's bounced around with a lot of different teams, didn't play a whole lot, but was on a bunch of rosters, came out of Northwestern, really bright guy, and he's been the quarterback's coach for a year with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Kafka's got a guy that makes some sense that maybe they talk to him. And now he's young. He's an up-and-comer. He's a riser. A lot of people think very highly of him. And, of course, working for Andy Reid for 2 years this past year as the quarterback's coach, that could be the direction that they have to go in, because they may not be able to get the experienced play caller to want to take a job where he doesn't get to call plays. So it might have to be that way. So I'm keeping my eye on New Orleans and Kansas City to see if they take a look at either Lombardi or Kafka. Kafka does make some sense to me. So it's possible that after that, you know, that they actually at some point reach out to one of those guys.
2 names to keep an eye on. Here's another one to keep an eye on. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network was the first to report that the Cardinals interviewed longtime NFL assistant Tom Clements for their OC job. He has coached, according to the tweet, a handful of Pro Bowl quarterbacks. He was for years and years and years with the Green Bay Packers, coached both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers when he was there. He was the offensive coordinator. He was the quarterback's
coach.
Good name. Had a variety of roles. He's been out of football for the last couple of years. I have no idea what he's been up to.
2 years hasn't been in football at all.
2 years he has been out of the league, but when he was in the league, he was in the league for a long, long time. He was an assistant head coach for the Green Bay Packers. In fact, somebody, I think it was Ian Rappaport, even brought up the possibility that if Clements doesn't get the OC job, he could still be under strong consideration for yet another job with the Cardinals, somewhere under the umbrella of the new OC.
Like a Tom Moore type of job, right? Like, I've been around forever.
Senior advisor to the offense or something like that, right?
I'm here to his contract expired, and McCarthy at the time, January 2017, announced that he would move on to pursue other opportunities. He's 65 years old. By the time the season starts, he'll be 66. It could be, he could call plays if you wanted him to, but he could also be a soundboard. He could be a guy that's just there to really just make sure that everything runs smooth and helps all these younger guys out.
So that's the latest, as we know it, when it comes to the Cardinals offensive coordinator search. When you're always looking for the latest on the Burns and Gambo show and you want it delivered right to your device, you should subscribe to the Burns and Gambo podcast. Subscribe on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. It was supposed to be his big triumphant return to the lineup. Instead, for the Phoenix Suns, it's one step forward and two steps back. One step forward and five steps back. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. And welcome to the frustration of being a Phoenix Suns fan circa 2019.
That's it in a nutshell,
isn't it?
That's
last night's game in a nutshell, isn't it? Just when they give you a little morsel, a little taste of the future and the brightness and the potential and the, ooh, you better, and you tune in. You almost, I don't want to say you get fooled, but it's almost like you get fooled. Right? It's almost like a con game almost, right? Like you go, oh, I'm really looking forward to tonight's game to see how they build off of what they just did the last time we saw them on the floor. And they're giving up 58% in the first quarter, and they're down by 20 like that.
Absolutely blown out last night. Terrible game. I mean, one of the worst games they played. They were awful. Just both ends, offensively, defensively. Booker came back to the lineup. It was a major defensive liability in the game, and he wasn't in any shots. I mean, he went 4 for 12, 0 for 4 from three-point range. They got down just really, really big. They tried to cut into the deficit a little bit, but then after that, they just got completely blown out in the basketball game. I mean, you go look at the plus-minus on all their guys. There are only a couple of guys that were actually decent. Everybody else was minus 30, and Ego's trying to find the right combination and the right guys that fit, and some days it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I really honestly think that, part of the wins is teams that overlook them. I mean, that's when you can get a win. Indiana clearly did not overlook them last night.
No.
They did not. These teams just beat the Nuggets. We don't show up to play. Now, they got nothing out of Victor Oladipo in that game last night, but everybody else played extremely well. And they just, they made it so bad that Dragan Bender got in the game last night for the Suns. That's how you know it's bad. Dragan Bender makes an appearance. Things are bad. Things are really bad.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that is absolutely accurate when you think of it in that regard. Kelly Oubre said, look, we hate to lose. I hate to lose, but we have to move on. This is sound courtesy of AZ Central's website.
I hate to lose. Simple as that. It's just not a good feeling, obviously. But, we got to move on to Toronto. Like, we got our ass kicked tonight, but we got to move on.
Yeah, now they go play the team with, the best record in the NBA?
Yeah,
right?
Toronto's really good. Now, Toronto will play tonight against Boston, so, you may catch Toronto napping a little bit. They got a big game against the Celtics, so they'll be on a back-to-back, and they'll get up for this game. But you got to hope, in some ways, to win decent games, you got to hope that team, takes you lightly. You got to hope that they take you lightly. I mean, last night was just, it was just an awful game. And Igor, said it afterwards that the team, wasn't prepared, they weren't ready, and it is frustrating because I know what you're saying. You feel like they won the Sacramento game and then they won the Denver game and you felt like, okay, and now you've said it, I could see it. I could see that it's coming together. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then, you lose 131-97 last night.
Yeah.
And everybody on that day, Bogdanovich, Miles Turner, Darren Collison, Thad Young, Sabonis. I mean, everybody was good on Indiana. Everybody that was Everybody touched the ball was scoring and making plays and grabbing rebounds and having assists and just a really ugly game for Phoenix.
Look, I know you were gone on your vacation, but in many ways it was when they came back from that East Coast road trip. I mean, that was the ultimate. They went 3-2 on the trip, right? They had won 5 of their last 7. Here comes this giant homestand where they're playing some of the best teams in the NBA, the best teams in the NBA. And there was, best I can tell, genuine excitement from the fan base to see, okay, where are they? How good are they? Where do they match up to these teams now? And they got their teeth kicked in. Almost the entire homestand. They got their teeth kicked in. And again, I don't want, we didn't get fooled. I guess best case scenario, what it is, Gambo, it just shows you that improvement and growth and getting better, it isn't always a straight line.
Oh, no.
Right?
No.
I mean,
bumps in the road.
It's bumps and there's dips and you go backwards and you go forward. And
it's life.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what they're finding out. I mean, they're not, you know, there are only a few teams in the league that are super consistent. There are. And the great teams, even the great teams in the league, I mean, the only way they lose is when a lot of times when they just, you know, they don't come out to play very hard. And, you know, I'm sure like the Suns just caught Denver napping the other day.
Yeah.
Caught Denver napping. Now, Denver's not a great team, but they're a good team. And that was a good win for them. The Sacramento win was a good win for them. To play the way they played last night. So it's discouraging because you want to see them compete. That's the one thing we kind of feel like they should be able to do now because they got guys that are playing hard. They've got talent and, you know, they should be able to compete. Look, they got 5 lottery picks on the team. Okay. For goodness sake, 5 lottery picks. Now, they're all young players. You know, Booker coming back to the lineup. Do you want to give it a game or two to incorporate him back in after he's missed some time? I mean, maybe. Maybe that's part of it. Do we want to start Kelly Oubre because he brings so much energy to the team passion? I mean, that's something we've got.
We're going to talk to James Jones about that at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's time for that, isn't it? Isn't it time to try that? I understand.
I think you have to try it, yeah.
He's playing that 6-man role, and he's doing it very well. But it seems to me with the numbers, especially in the last 4 or 5 games, the numbers that he's put up, it is time to give that a shot and see if you can be – because if you're competitive early last night, then maybe things don't get out of hand as badly as they did. I mean, you're down by 20 points in the first quarter. They were so sloppy with the ball. God, Josh Jackson was so sloppy with the ball.
Melton was not good.
Early in the game, Melton was not good. It sounds like, to maybe the naked ear, that we're making excuses for him and all that. I heard what Igor said. Doesn't jive well with me either. I don't know how this team cannot be ready to play a game when they've had multiple days off. I understand they're on the road.
Coming
off a big win. Emotionally, they should be more engaged.
Getting their leader back, right?
Getting their leader back. I mean, they should be excited, prepared, and engaged and ready to go on a Tuesday night, and they were anything but.
A fruit Tuesday for that matter.
A fruit Tuesday. Seriously. Fruit Tuesday, a vegetable Tuesday, a protein, a carb Tuesday, whatever you want to eat on your Tuesday, they didn't eat enough of it. And
that's the frustrating part.
Yeah.
Of the growing pains is when you take a step back like that. You're like, you felt good about the Indiana win. You felt good about, but now Book got in foul trouble. He picked up his 4th foul, you know, in that second quarter. And, you know, how much that affected him, I don't know. He didn't shoot the ball well, and he was a liability defensively, you know, especially when he had Bogdanovich on him. They did a good job on Booker. And the Suns just didn't respond. I mean, they just didn't respond to getting down. They got down big, and that's that. You know, a lot of the problems when they lose basketball games like this is they get down so big, and it's just hard to climb out of that hole. Now, it's not like they're not trying. They tried, and they got it down, you know, 10 or 11. But
11,
just,
yeah.
But then Indiana just was able to push the lead, and they ended up winning by 34 points in a basketball game.
Last 4 games, Kelly Oubre Jr. is averaging 20.5 points per game, 5.5 rebounds per game, 2.5 assists per game, 2 steals per game.
And John Wall hates him. The fans were chanting it last night.
Suns continue to struggle from the free throw line, now 4 of 9.
Yeah, and you just don't expect it from this guy in particular.
Yeah, through the play-by-play there, you can hear
John Wall
hates you being chanted at Kelly Oubre, who was 1 of 6 last night from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Something
like a curtain of distraction almost.
Something was in his head a little bit last night, at least when it came to the free throw line, and he was hearing the chants. He was probably processing the information. I think it's time to start him.
You have to come out of the gates quicker. You got to give yourself a chance. And if you could play a little bit more, even in the first quarter, you give yourself a chance. And whatever Igor's got to do, he's got to mix the lineups up. He's got to find out what combinations work, who plays that. Listen, you're building around Booker and Ayton. Who plays the best with them, okay?
Yeah.
Got to figure that out. What's the best combination of players to play with Booker and Ayton? Because you know Booker's going to play and you know Ayton's going to play. Everybody else is interchangeable, whether it's TJ or Josh or Mikhail or Oubre. Those guys are interchangeable. You can start some guys, you can have some guys come off the bench. But the one thing that is very obvious is that they're going to build around DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. So what is the best combination of players to play with those two guys? They've got to figure that out.
We've only got about a minute left. So I'll ask you this question, and I know we'll need to flesh this out a little bit later on in the show. At some point last year during the Cardinals season, everybody got – it had happened at different times for different people. Everybody got an idea in their mind, you know what, Steve Wilks just might not be the guy to do this. Have you had that moment with Igor?
No.
Will you have that moment? Can you foresee yourself having that moment at all with Igor this year?
Not going to predict the future here. I don't know. But right now I don't feel like that Igor's a one-and-done coach, that Igor's not, you know, doing a good job. I mean, there have been signs that they've played well. There hasn't been anybody, you know, we've had a lot of years where guys demand to trade and guys wanted out and we knew guys weren't happy. And obviously, I talk to a lot of the players. I get a little information when guys aren't happy. I'm not getting any of that this year.
Okay.
I mean, even the guys on the bench, whether it's a Ryan Anderson or a Dragan Bender or Troy Daniels, is you're not hearing the complaining. He's done a good job with the rotations, a good job with the substitutions. You know, they're going to go through growing pains. I've got no indication right now that these guys aren't playing hard for Igor, that everybody's happy with him. So I'm not getting that vibe at all. Does that mean that a month from now, if they lose 20 out of the next 22 games, that things might change? Things can change. But right now, I'm not getting that
and
vibe.
I wasn't even necessarily searching for the player's vibe. I was kind of looking for the Gambo vibe, just how you felt about him and whether
I think he's a rookie coach with a really, really young basketball team that has to go through his growing pains as well as a coach.
He is the biggest name on the NFL trade block, and everybody from analysts to Bruce Arians have been calling it out. Antonio Brown has responded. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Card-carrying member of the American Woman Thing, Sarah Cazell.
The American Woman.
Hello.
Hi. There she is.
Card-carrying member.
In all of her glory.
No doubt. Yep. I like how you raise your hand when you do that. Yes.
No one can see it, but it's just like a body tick.
It's like, look at this. Yeah. In all my glory. Here she is. What is today's poll question of the day, Sarah?
You know, we're going to dust the dirt off of Major League Baseball and talk a little bit about that real quick. So, I know. And get your speculation goggles on. That's what we're doing right now. Archie Bradley earlier today tweeted a photo of himself and the caption, "Closing time." So, if we're reading that tweet correctly, it's safe to assume that he'll be the D-backs closer for the 2019 season.
Yes.
What do you think about that? 76% say he is our dude. Awesome. 14% say, can we go get somebody else? And 10% say they want Yoshi Hirano or somebody else on the D-backs roster.
I'm on with the 76%. Let's give him a shot. Let's go, Archie. Had a terrible year last year. It was not good. Archie didn't have a good year last year. The beard wasn't good. But next year, but he's got the talent. And that might be the role that just fires him up a little bit, right? That role, that music coming in. I'm ready to give Archie a shot here to be the closer. I'm ready.
Yeah, it's
I'm ready.
I'm ready for it. I think between what Torrey Lovello has said about it, and the fact that he tweeted it, has he been told? Is he assuming? Is he? I gotta think he's
just
been
like
told.
The song.
Is it time for new beginnings? Is it, you know? I don't know. We'll see. But it's closing time.
Time for new beginnings. Yeah.
Just quoting the line from the song.
Good.
All right, that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where you will find that. Antonio Brown.
Ooh.
Bruce Arians today on the Adam Schefter podcast. A little too much diva for his former offensive coordinator.
Not from afar. It's just too much miscommunication. Too much diva. You know, I just don't. I've heard so many stories, and I like Antonio. He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. He's got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things.
He was even asked a question about if that was the same Antonio Brown that you drafted at the beginning of his career.
Was that the Antonio that you knew and drafted back in 2011 or whatever year it was?
He was hardest working. He and Emmanuel Sanders, boy, they went after it because Mike Thomas always tell them two dogs, one bone. At that time, we had Mike Wallace, Hines Ward, and we had a pretty good room for one of them to get on the field. And by the end of the season, they were both winning for us to go to the Super Bowl.
He took a shot back at Bruce Arians and commented about Emmanuel Sanders, too. He goes, he didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on Situation. He have zero clue. Arians now wears kangaroo hats and glasses. But I'm a diva. Done seen it all. Then they say we friends. Stop lying. So Bruce had the this isn't the Antonio that was drafted in 2010. And he said he didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on Situation. Arians now wears Kangoo. I imagine kangaroo hats.
Kangle.
Kangoo?
Kangle hats. That's the style of hat that he wears. A Kangle hat.
And
yeah.
Glasses, but I'm a diva. So he took a shot at Bruce Arians. But Antonio Brown, right now, the way it's going right now, nobody expects him to come back. The Steelers are saying there's been no trade talks for Antonio Brown. But they also say they haven't spoken with the wide receiver. I'll just say this, and I'll let you. I cannot tell you that the Cardinals have no interest in Antonio Brown.
Okay.
A lot of times I could say team doesn't have any interest in this guy. Suns have no interest in Dennis Smith. Cardinals have no interest in this guy. I could tell you a team has no interest in a player. I can't say that about Antonio Brown. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would not be shocked at all if they kicked the tires. Now, he's got his issues, but he's a hell of a player. He's got a crazy contract situation. You don't know what the cost would be to acquire him. There's nothing out there that nobody really knows what the cost would be to acquire him. But I'm not going to sit here and if you said, hey, would the Cardinals have interest in him? I'm not going to tell you no. The Cardinals have no. I can't tell you that. That's because that wouldn't be true. I expect that they will at least look into it, see what the price would be and see if it would be worth it. He is a dominant wide receiver, a dominant wide receiver.
There was a betting website that listed the Arizona Cardinals as the team with the fourth best odds to get Antonio Brown. The only teams that were listed ahead of them, the favorites were the San Francisco 49ers, the New York Jets followed them, and then the Buffalo Bills at number three. The Cardinals had the fourth best odds with only those three teams ahead of them. Remember, it was Jerry Rice a few days ago.
He wants to come to
the 49ers really, 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 very, very, very bad, or
yes,
something along those lines. This is a complicated issue, and it's not black and white. I know we try to make things black and white on Sports Talk Radio and sound like, yes, do it, no, don't. I would do it, but only under certain circumstances. I would only do it if I trade my number one overall pick and I have a surplus of picks to use some of those picks on Antonio Brown.
Okay.
That'd be one way in which I would do it. Another way that gives me a lot of hesitation, other than Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, who's the leadership in the locker room to keep Antonio Brown
in check
from being a pain in your butt?
Especially with a new coach.
A young coach
who's never coached in the NFL before.
Second year quarterback.
Yeah.
Where if Fitz comes back, I feel a lot better about it. If he doesn't come back, who's the leadership? Where's the leadership in your room to keep Antonio Brown from being a major pain in your butt? I don't know if they have it. So for me,
remember, he didn't play in that final game because he like missed a walkthrough or something.
Sure,
right?
He missed practice all week long, and then they sent him to the doctor. He didn't go. His agent calls Mike Tomlin on Sunday and said, "Yeah, he's ready to go." And Tomlin said, "I informed Drew Rosenhaus that's not how we cook things around here. Right? That's not how it works around here. You don't just call on Sunday after not showing up all week and say you're ready to play and think you're going to play. We don't do things like that around here." So he didn't play. That's why everybody thinks he's gone. Emmanuel Sanders also responded to Antonio Brown on Twitter saying, "You know damn well I didn't travel to LA to talk on the NFL Network about you, fam. You tripping, yo. I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic, and I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself.
He's right.
He's right. Oh, he is 110% right.
Did it to yourself.
You've done this all to yourself, Antonio Brown. But the talent, Gambo, the talent is so alluring, isn't it? It's just so.
And they need somebody like that so bad. Just so bad. Let's look at his contract situation, because I think the contract is something
3 years and I think 72 million left, and none of
it's
guaranteed.
A 4-year extension worth $68 million, $19 million guaranteed, $17 million annual price tag. Highest paid wide receiver in the National Football League.
But I think the guaranteed money is gone. You know, so I think if you got him and you wanted to let him go, the guaranteed money that he's already owed is gone. So it wouldn't be as bad.
So his cap number for this next season would be $22 million. That's a third of the cap money that you've got available right now.
Yep.
A third.
Yep.
You want to put a third of your cap money into Antonio Brown?
It's also one of the very best players in the NFL and somebody who would instantly transform your room and your offense. Think about it. Think about it. A Josh Rosen, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, Antonio Brown, Christian Kirk offense. That's a pretty good place
to start.
He should
still be great for 3 more years, too, I would think.
Yes.
31, 32, 33. Those 3 years, I would think he would still be great at 31, 32, 33. Then his contract expires when he's 33 years old. You're going to pay him, you know, a lot of money over those years, you know, a ton of money you're going to pay him over those 3 years. But he is, and again, I'm just, you know, I'm the Cardinals are not going to rule out discussing him and looking at him and just seeing if there's a way to make something work. What does Pittsburgh want for him? What do they want? What can they get for him?
Think I read the bidding is going to start with a second round pick, and it might take a second and a third. That's what they'd be looking for. A second, maybe a second and a third.
That's a it's a high price to pay.
And for me, I'll keep saying this, I only do it if I have extra picks to give.
There's a story in CBS Pittsburgh says the Steelers want a first round pick for him, which obviously the Cardinals can't do. They're not going to give up the number one pick for Antonio Brown.
But that could also be
the
classic.
Would you give up the first pick in the second round if it was just that?
No.
First pick in the second round.
No. I'm only if I have an extra second round pick, only if I have an extra third round pick. That's the only way I'm doing this. I'm with the draft inventory I've got right now. I'm not touching that to get Antonio Brown. I'm only doing it if I have extra picks that come from moving down in the draft. It's the only way. Only way. And to me, it's not the money. The money I'm fine with. The money Antonio Brown is owed, I'm fine with. It's the man.
How about this? The Steelers papers are saying the Seahawks, Colts, Saints, 49ers, Packers, and Eagles could all show interest. Two of those teams are in the NFC West.
Sure.
Seattle and the 49ers.
Yep.
And you don't want him going there.
The Arizona Diamondbacks, some major questions facing them this offseason, but thanks to one tweet and a player signing, we might be getting some answers. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
One of the great one-hit wonder songs of the 90s.
What's the most famous one-hit wonder that you remember?
Come on, Eileen.
Come on, Eileen. Dexy's Midnight Run is completely great.
I don't think that band...
Come on, Eileen.
I don't think they did anything else ever. This might be in my top 10 for one-hit wonders.
Okay.
I mean, this song is really good, and I don't think this band did... diddly after this. It is also the subject of a tweet that was sent out by Archie Bradley this morning. About 8:45, was he on his way out of a meeting with Torrey Lovello and Mike Hazen when he sent it? I don't know. But at about 8:45 this morning, Archie Bradley tweeted out the phrase, closing time, with an exclamation point and a picture of him shaking hands with John Ryan Murphy after he closed out a game. I think it's safe to assume that Archie has been informed that his role has been now defined for the Arizona Diamondbacks moving forward as the closer.
Probably like that. I probably like going into spring training knowing that that's my role. I've got it, defined role. I'm going to work at it. Like, I mean, instead of like going through spring training with competition and let's see what's going to happen. Brad Boxberger was your closer last year. He's gone. You could go into spring training and say, let's have an open competition. Or you could just say, Archie, you're the guy. It's your job to lose. You're the closer right now. And so just work on being the closer. We're only going to put you in situations in which you're closing out games, and just work on what you need to work on. I mean, we had spoken with Torrey Lovello a while ago. I mean, probably back in October, maybe. And we had asked him at this point, you know, who's your closer for next year?
From October 2nd, here's Torrey Lovello. So days after the season ended.
If you're trapping me and putting me in a corner and getting ready to throw that left-right combo on me and I got to make a decision.
Yep.
Then I'm entitled to change my mind. Yep. I feel like Archie Bradley should be our closer for next year. I like the presence. I think the closer needs to have a presence because sometimes that'll just get you through a situation or two. And Archie has that.
He said it again at the winter meetings, Torrey did, and then kind of walked it back a little bit at the winter meetings. This is in December, about 2 months later.
You know, I just mentioned that I would probably, if you had a gun to my head, I would probably look at Archie as a closer. But, you know, Yoshi is going to be in the conversation as well. He had a tremendous year. So, I don't know. I probably got a little ahead of myself. But we have some very capable back-end guys, and who lands in that closer spot, we've yet to determine, but we'll have those conversations.
And maybe I'm getting ahead of myself by assuming that he's been told he has the job.
Just because of the tweet?
You know, just because of a tweet and two words, closing time. I mean, I don't think he tweeted it out because he's a fan of the song, but is it possible he tweeted it out because that's what he wants? Because that's what he's been told he's competing for? Maybe. I guess it's probably not fair to assume that's it, he's got the gig. But it does lead to sort of this speculation that he's been told, he's been informed. I think it's fair to wonder, at the very minimum, if he has been told he's going to be the closer for this baseball team.
I think he's probably, when do pitchers and catchers report?
About a month from now.
I mean, it's probably, we're going to get you ready now. Going to get your mind right. You know, I mean, as a closer, it's a lot of it's just mental, right? The preparation.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a month's notice. You're the closer on this baseball team. Start getting your mind right for what you got to do and start preparing for what you got to do. You're the closer. So I would expect that his closing time tweet has something to do with that. I mean, I'll try to find out, but it makes sense to me. I think he should be the closer on this baseball team. I think you should have the opportunity. If he fails, then you could change things up, but I think it makes sense.
So for now, we close the book on Archie Bradley, but we move on to other issues for the Arizona Diamondbacks and a couple of signings today. One that has been announced, one that has not been announced, but is reported to happen. The one that has not been announced yet is the Diamondbacks have signed Wilmer Flores to a one-year contract. An infielder with the Mets, 26 years of age.
I like him.
11 home runs last year, 51 RBI, played kind of all over the infield. His primary position last year with the Mets was as a first baseman, which makes you wonder, is he at first base the platoon option for Jake Lamb when they move him over there if they want to sit Lamb against the tough lefty?
You know what? You may remember this about Wilmer Flores. He actually got traded during a game, and then he started to cry that he was leaving, and then the trade didn't go through.
I'd forgotten about that.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember who he got traded for.
But I remember he got traded, and he loved being a Met. He loved being a Met. Started to cry, like he was literally crying, and then they didn't end up making the trade, and he ended up staying on the Mets. So I don't remember who he got traded for or who he got traded to. I just remember he was crying on the field.
The Brewers. The Mets reportedly agreed to a deal with the Brewers to trade Zach Wheeler and Wilmer Flores for Carlos Gomez, and that's when he started crying.
Started bawling right on the field. He was on the field, and he found out, and he started to cry on the field. And it kind of endeared him to the Mets fans because he wanted to stay a Met. He loved being a Met. The kid's got pop. Like, he'll hit some home runs for you. He's got some pop. Not a bad ball player, not a bad guy to add to the team. I've always liked him as a role player. I think he's a good role player to have. Makes sense to me.
He's throughout his career, and he's had 6 years in the bigs. He's always hit with a little more pop against lefties than he has against righties. He didn't last year, but typically throughout his career, he's got a little more pop against lefties. So he could be that guy you platoon over at first if you wanted to. Some initially had thought he might be the second baseman that allows you to move Ketel Marte to center field, but then the Diamondbacks went and made another move, and this one they have announced. They've traded infielder/outfielder Tim LeCastro from the Yankees to the Diamondbacks. Now, he doesn't have a ton of big league experience.
No.
Minor league guy. He's had like 20-something plate appearances to his name. He has spent most of his time in the minors in his career at second base and shortstop. If they view him as a major league option, that and the Flores flexibility could be the two signs we need to know that Ketel Marte is going to be your starting center fielder on opening day.
AJ Pollock still hasn't found a team. I was reading something today, five moves that, you know, ESPN did this, five moves that they want to see this offseason. And it says the Reds shake things up by signing AJ Pollock. That was the number one thing that they had in there, was the Reds go get AJ Pollock. The outfield market has been kind of bare. I mean, and that was another, you know, story that was out there, just talking about the outfielders and the fact that these guys aren't getting signed. And, you know, it just seemed, not that it's dead, but the outfielders have been hit the hardest in the free agent market. The money just doesn't seem to be there. And part of it could be because there's just so many guys that are available. I mean, it's the market's flooded. There's two dozen unsigned outfielders, guys who have been productive: Gerardo Parra, Adam Jones, Nick Markakis, Chris Young, guys that are cheaper options than an A.J. Pollock. So, you know, that part of it could be, you know, A.J. wants a certain amount of money and the market's not giving him that money. I still think he ends up somewhere else and gets a good contract, and a Marte could end up being your center fielder if they don't address that need somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, they could still sign somebody to be in their outfield if they wanted to, and kind of create positional flexibility all over the middle of the field if they wanted to, at short, at second, at center field if they wanted to, move guys around to play lots of different spots. But I don't know. I look at these two signings today, and it feels like they're giving themselves options in the infield to be able to move Ketel Marte to center, which is something that we talked about almost from day one this offseason, that might be their best option when all was said and done, because there just aren't great center field options out there. You might get one on the cheap, because everyone's going to be scrambling for jobs here in a few weeks. I mean, you know that's going to happen, just like it did last year.
Oh, absolutely.
Guys are going to be scrambling for gigs.
I got to get a job. I mean, when you got two dozen outfielders out there, and there's only, you know, so if you got, you know, 24 outfielders out there, and there's only 10 jobs, at the end, guys are going to be like, I'd rather have a job than not have a job. You know, so get me in spring training. Let's go. Let's get this going. So the Wilmer Flores signing is a good signing. I mean, it's a low-cost signing, but he's got pop in his bat, and, you know, he could play a bunch of different positions, and he's a great kid. But he might be your second baseman. I mean, my guess is that he is your second baseman. And Marte is your center fielder.
Yeah.
That's what I believe is going to happen. He'll be your regular second baseman.
Why do the Suns continue to struggle with these poor starts, and could that be fixed with a change to the lineup? We're going to ask the general manager of the Suns, James Jones, that question coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.